question this evening that is commonly asked, and that is, what is God's will for my life? We get up each day, we make various kinds of decisions, and we want to know if that is God's will. And I've also been asked recently if I would bring a lesson answering the question, does everything happen for a reason? And so that's a good question. It's a popular question, and we want to work that into our study this evening with regard to God's will. Whoever does God's will, we can be a part of that spiritual family. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus said, "You can be a part of my family if you will do the will of my Father." How can we know what that will is? What is God's will? How do I know what God's will is for my life? There are a lot of books in religious bookstores about making decisions and knowing what God's will is for our life. How can we know that? How does God let us know what His will is for our life and for my life? You know, a lot of times, and I started these questions there on the screen, dealing about teenage years on up, a lot of times little kids are not asking, what is God's will for my life? You know, a little six-year-old is not asking that. But we get on up and we want to know, should we date someone, and who should that be? Should we go to college after high school and get married, and who is it that I should marry? There's several boys or several girls, and which one? And do I have kids after that? And do I change jobs? And do I move? And when there's problems in a marriage later, do I get a divorce? And if I am divorced, do I get remarried? And we want to know, what is God's will in those areas? Maybe you've talked with a coworker about that, or maybe you have spoken with a friend, and they want to know what God's will is for them in these types of things. So it's a very real question. It's not a hypothetical. It's not a theoretical. This is something that is in everybody's life. And so we want to know, what is God's will for my life? A related question that comes up and that I was asked about in order to bring this lesson is, does everything happen for a reason? And both of these questions are similar. How can I know what God's will is for my life? And does everything happen for a reason? It's a good question. And this second question often comes up with regard to things that happen a lot of times in a very serious tone. For example, an infant dies unexpectedly. Someone is killed by a drunk driver. Someone is stricken with cancer. We know about child abuse. Someone is raped. Someone commits suicide, or they're unfaithful to their spouse, or their house burns down. What was the reason for all of these things? And I was reading recently where an individual, a coach, after their ball team lost, he said, "Well, I know we lost, but everything happens for a reason." So it might even be with regard to a sports team. So the statement is made that something happened, and what is the reason for that? And that's a good question. Is there a reason behind all these kinds of things? Now, obviously, some of these things are extremely serious. And then there might be something more of a lighter nature with regard to a ball game. But either way, somebody wants to know if there's a reason for these things happening. It's related to this matter of God's will. And so we want to talk about that this evening. We want to go through the scriptures, and we're going to see that in the Word of God, the will of God is described in three different ways. We're going to look at that, and we're going to find that what we're looking at right here in this question, does everything happen for a reason? It's going to fall into the third category of what God permits in life. Before we get into that biblical material, if you were to Google this question, you're going to get some interesting information, just as when you Google anything. It's just a wide spectrum of types of answers. Does everything happen for a reason? Well, there are those who say yes, there are those who say no, there are those who say I don't know. What we're interested, of course, this evening is the biblical answer, and I just wanted to mention a few situations with regard to how you might answer. You can Google this question, and you're going to find those who say absolutely yes, everything happens for a reason. And what you have in that situation is this. A lot of times, and I'm not suggesting that anyone here is doing it. We don't know why somebody would say yes, but often it is the case that somebody says yes to that because they're trying to be comforting and consoling. A lot of times you'll see this at a funeral, you'll see this at a bedside, you'll see this when somebody dies. That, well, did it happen for a reason? Yes, it happened for a reason. And in their mind, that is helpful, that's comforting and consoling along those lines. One of the problems with that is it can be misleading. We can end up getting people to think about God in a way that they shouldn't be thinking about God, and in a way that He's actually causing evil or sin or problems. So we need to be careful about that. While saying yes might be comforting and consoling, it can be misleading. If you get on the internet and Google this question, you'll find that some say absolutely not. No way. And when you read the context of those, you'll find that the person is trying to be noble. They're trying to help God out. They're trying to defend God. They're trying not to attribute anything to Him that shouldn't be attributed to Him. But then again, that can be misleading as well. There are some who say, I don't know. And then the problem with that is it just... people throw up their hands and say, well, I don't believe in God anymore, and we just don't know anything about anything. So when we answer these types of questions, of course, we always want to go to the Bible. And we want to be careful with God's Word, and we want to accurately represent God. And that's what we want to do, hopefully, this evening. So let's look at God's will. What is God's will for my life? And does everything happen for a reason? When you look at the Word of God, what you find is there are some words that are used in the Bible to describe God's will. And there are five of them. There are words used, turn with me to Romans chapter 9 and verse 11, where the emphasis is on a purpose or a design that God has. And we're just going to look at one example of each of these. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, talking about the children of Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Esau, God, according to the election, might stand not of works, but of Him that calleth. And so the children not having yet been born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God, the prothesis. Look at the prefix to that word pro, ahead of time or in advance. God is making a purpose or a design or a will in advance. Turns me to Acts 2:23. The word boule or boulamai is the focus on the wisdom and the counsel that God has before He puts something into practice. Think about someone sitting down and using good wisdom to work that out before He activates it. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, speaking of putting Jesus on the cross and allowing Him to be crucified, Him, being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Counsel and foreknowledge of God. The counsel here. The wisdom that God used to put Jesus on the cross. Turn with me to Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Eutychia is focusing on God's goodness when He makes plans and His will for us and His design and His purpose. It meets His good pleasure. He enjoys that. It's something that is going to be good for Him and for all mankind. God is good. Ephesians 1 and verse 5, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So it's something that is good. And that right there kind of helps us, if we didn't know anything else about tonight's lesson, whatever God has for me, it's going to be good. And then we have the thelema, the word that means what God wishes or desires. This is a very familiar passage. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. This is the one where Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not enough just to be religious. There's a lot of religious folks in the world, and that's good. But being religious is not going to get us into heaven. What is it? He that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. This is what God wishes for us. This is what God desires for us. And we're going to see in just a minute that He lets us choose if we want to obey that or not. Not everybody does what God wishes. God doesn't always get what He desires. God doesn't always get what He wishes or wills. He lets us in our free will decide if we're going to obey that or not. But this is something that He desires. And we ought to want to do each day what God desires. And then last of all, the epitrepho. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 7, this is very popular, especially in the writings of the Apostle Paul. He writes from time to time and says, I would like to come to you if the Lord wills. I will do this if the Lord wills. I will return if the Lord wills. This is very common in the New Testament, especially in Paul's writings. And here's one example of that. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 7. For I do not wish to see you now by way, for I hope to tarry a while if the Lord permit. A great translation of this is to allow or to permit. It's not something that He designed ahead of time. Man is wanting to do something. In this case, Paul is wanting to see them again at Corinth. And God is either allowing that or not allowing that. So when we look at these different words, we find different aspects and emphasis with regard to the will of God. And when you look at them, you're going to find that God's will is told us, described to us, detailed to us in three different ways. And that's what we want to study this evening. And what we're going to find when we look at this is that with regard to the question before us, does God have an individual will for my life? When I leave the service, does God want me to turn left or right out of the parking lot? There are some who say that God has that will and that design for you. He's already designed for you that you're going to turn left or that you're going to turn right. Does God have an individual will for my life? And this matter of does everything happen for a reason? What we're going to find is that it's going to fall into this last category of what God permits and what God allows. So first of all, this evening, notice with regard to God's will, that God has a purposed will. Now these are words. Some of these words are actually in the Scripture, but these are words that I'm using to describe the will of God. The first one that we want to talk about this evening is the purposed will of God. This is what God desires and what God decides. And He doesn't consult you. He doesn't consult me. He doesn't look at man. He doesn't incorporate man into the equation whatsoever. It's completely something that He does and that He does alone. It's called the purposed will of God. The second thing that we're going to see this evening is the prescribed will of God. This is what you're holding in your hands this evening. This is what God prescribes. This is what God reveals to us and writes down in His Word. And what it is something that He desires. Now, you don't have to do it. You can or you cannot. You can and obey and be rewarded, or you cannot. You can disobey and be punished, but He's going to let you decide that. You can decide if you want to obey the gospel or not. You can decide whether you not want to be a faithful Christian or not. It's all here. It's what He wills. It's what He desires. But He's going to let you make the decision as to whether or not that'll be carried out. And it's prescribed in His Word. We're going to see that as the second will of God. And then the third thing that we're going to see this evening is what I would call the permissive will of God. God has not decided in advance whether you turn left or right or thousands of details throughout the day. This is something that man is desiring and deciding. And I put in parentheses or not because sometimes it might not even have anything to do with our decision. You accidentally fall off a ladder. That's not something you decided to do. But it happened. Did it happen for a reason? We're going to talk about that later. There's thousands of things that go on all throughout the day that are not the purposed will of God. They're not the prescribed will of God. You're not going to read in your Bible whether or not you turn left or right out of the driveway. It's not something that's been prescribed. And then there's the purposeful or the permissive will of God. You are making decisions about what you want to do, and God is allowing that or permitting that. So let's look at those things this evening. First of all, let's look at the purposed will of God. This is the will of God where God desires something to happen, and He also decides how and when it will happen. You and I are not consulted. There's no consideration given to you and I. He is completely doing that all on His own. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 27. There are things that God wills. He decides what it is. He decides to make it happen. He decides how and when and where. And all of that is going to take place. And man is not consulted or considered. It's not contingent upon man in any way, shape, or form. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 27, "For Jehovah of hosts hath purposed, and who shall annul it? And His hands stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" There are things that God does where He decides everything about it, and He carries out that. I want to talk about three examples of that this evening. Just think in your mind before I give you this first example, what would be something that God did where man was not consulted whatsoever? And I'll give you a hint, man wasn't even around. Sure, creation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Here's an example of God's purposed will. He decided to create. And we know that man was not consulted. He wasn't even around. There are things that God does that are the purposed will of God. And so we're familiar with this heavenly host in Revelation chapter 4, and they're praising God. And notice that they praise Him for His creation. Verse 11, "Worthy art Thou, our Lord, our God, to receive the glory and honor and power. For Thou didst create all things, and because of Thy will..." We're talking about, what is God's will? Well, first of all, God has a purposed will. "Because of Thy will, they were and were created." So creation would be one of those things where He completely decided everything about it. Man was not even consulted. A second example of that, turn with me, we've already looked at Acts chapter 2. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 28. Salvation through Jesus Christ. God did not consult man concerning that. That God would save mankind through Jesus Christ. These things are taking place before the foundation of the world. God is simply making a will, a decision, a purpose, and He's not consulting anybody. Number one, I'm going to create a world with mankind. And when they sin, I'm going to save them through Jesus Christ. This reads similar to Acts chapter 2, but in Acts chapter 4 and verse 28, "To do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass." Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Salvation through Jesus Christ would be an example of the purposed will of God. And sometimes we read in Scripture about Jesus saving the world, and it was before the foundation of the world. This is clearly a decision by God that does not involve man. And here's an example of this. We're told we're going to be saved by the precious blood, as of a lamb, verse 19, without blemish, without spot, even the blood of Christ, who was foreknown, indeed, before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of times for your sakes. This is something that God chose and purposed, and man is not consulted at all. Another example of this is being in the church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. That salvation would be in the church, not in modern day denominations, but in the Lord's church, the New Testament church. And when you're reading Ephesians chapter 1, you're reading about how that Jews and Gentiles can be saved in Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ. And we read, for example, in Ephesians, I wish we had time to read the whole 3 through 14. That would be a great thought there. But all spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ, verse 3. Verse 4, "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love." Now, He's not choosing individuals. Chris is going to be lost and Eric's going to be saved. He's choosing where that realm of salvation is going to be. And notice in verse 4, it's before the foundation of the world. We weren't even considered. Man was not considered in any of this. So there are things related to creation and especially salvation that fall under the heading of the purposed will of God. It's something that He desires, He chooses, He decides everything about that. Look at verse 5. Having foreordained us unto adoption as sons. Look at verse 9. Making known unto us the mystery of His will. He's also going to make a decision that salvation is going to be in Christ and in the church. And then He's going to make that will known. That's what we're going to look at in just a moment. The prescribed will of God. But I believe here, even in verse 9 and verse 11, he's still talking about the purposed will of God. This is something that God chose in advance. He decides how and when it will happen. So, somebody says, what is the will of God? What is the will of God for me? Well, first of all, there is a purposed will. God has completely decided that on His own. Now, it involves us. Salvation certainly involves us. And being a member of the church, that certainly involves us. But the how and the when and all of that was decided in advance, even before the foundation of the world, that God would do these kinds of things. So when you're studying in your Bible about the will of God, we need to take that into account. There is the purposed will of God. Number two, there is the prescribed will of God. The prescribed will of God, think of the word scribe. What does a scribe do? He writes things down. The prescribed will of God is that which God wills, and He writes it and records it in His Word. But here's the difference. He's going to allow you to make a decision. Do you obey that or not? God desires something to happen. He reveals it. He prescribes it to all mankind. And then He allows man to decide whether or not it will be done. You can go to a doctor and he can prescribe you medicine, but you don't have to go to the pharmacy and fill that. You don't have to take that. It'd be wise for you to do it. It'd be helpful for you to do it, but you don't have to. And God prescribes in this book that you hold in your hands a lot of good things for us, but you don't have to do it. He's not going to force you and me to do it. He tells you, this is what I desire. This is what I want for you. And then He gives you free will to go out and do that or not. So in Acts chapter 20, for example, in verse 27, what did the Apostle Paul do when he was preaching the gospel there at Ephesus? And really, this was his practice everywhere. He said, I shrank not from declaring the whole counsel of God. Paul preached everything that God wanted preached so that man could be saved. Look at chapter 22 and verse 14. The God of our fathers has appointed thee to know His will and to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from His mouth. And then he would go out and be a witness and he would preach that to others. So this is the will of God, where He tells us how to be saved and how to remain faithful as a Christian and how to live on a daily basis. And it's all prescribed in the Word of God. And He's going to let you decide whether or not you go out and do that. So the second area that you'll find when you're studying your Bible concerning the will of God, you're going to find the prescribed will of God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Where is it prescribed? Well, it's prescribed, of course, in the Scripture. And we're under the new covenant. There was a time in which God had a prescribed will for Israel. It was called the law of Moses. There was a time when God had a prescribed will for the patriarchs. We find that in the book of Genesis, in the first part of the book of Exodus. And there's a time when God has a prescribed will for all mankind, and that is the New Testament law of Christ. And it's recorded in the 27 books of the New Testament. And so Paul is praying that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. How can we be filled with the knowledge of His will? There is a will that has a knowledge that goes with it. That's the prescribed will of God. And we need to know as much of that as we can. That's why our daily Bible reading is important. That's why our Bible classes are important. We're learning. We're trying to know the prescribed will of God. What do I do today? How do I live today? So, to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's recorded on the pages of the New Testament. This will must be obeyed. That's what Jesus was saying, that if you want to be a part of my spiritual family, do the will of my Father. Do. There's a lot of places in the Scripture, too many that we could even look at tonight, where it talks about doing the will. Do. It's something that we're supposed to obey. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. We looked at this a little bit this morning, but Christians are being persecuted and there's troubles and trials that they go through, but they have to keep living faithfully each day. And so the Hebrew writer says, "You have indeed need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise." The promise comes after we have done the will of God, obedience. John says that the world is going to pass away. But he that does the will of the Father abides, or he that does the will of God abides forever. The world's going to pass away, but those who abide forever are those who do the will of God. So there's obedience. It must be obeyed. That's why we have an invitation. That's why we encourage people to change and encourage us to grow and encourage us to obey. Because that's the part of God's will that must be done. But it doesn't have to be. It can be rejected. God gives us a free will. We can hear and we can read and we can be filled with the knowledge of His will, but we don't have to go out and do it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees here and He said that there are going to be people like the publicans and the harlots. They're going to enter into the kingdom of God. They're going to humble themselves. They're going to submit to baptism, but you folks won't do it. And He says in Luke chapter 7 and verse 29, "And all the people, when they heard, and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John," there were some people that submitted to the will of God, which at this time was to be baptized by John's baptism. "But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the will of God," or the counsel of God, "being not baptized of Him." I don't want to do what God's will is. You don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. He gives us that choice. Just like when the doctor writes the prescription, you don't have to go fill it. You don't have to take the medicine. And so the encouragement is to do it, to obey it, of course. But God's going to give us that choice. In the purposed will of God, there's no choice in it. God created all things. He didn't give you a choice. But in the prescribed will of God, He's going to give you a choice. And let's make that right choice today. So the second thing that we find is the prescribed will of God. The third area that you'll find in studying this topic in the Word of God is what's called the permissive will of God. This is not written in your Bible. You can't turn to a page in the Scripture that says whether or not to date this person or not, or to go to college or not, or to turn left or right. There's just thousands of things all throughout the day that we make choices on. But God allows things. And so we're talking about God neither purposes nor prescribes some things to happen. But He allows individuals in their freedom, and again I put "or not," because sometimes it's not a matter of our freedom. It could be natural law. We're up on a ladder and we're not making the choice to fall off. Maybe it's just an accident and we fall to the ground. It's not our personal freedom that wanted that so much as it is maybe we were just not being careful and then gravity takes over and we hit the ground. There's all kinds of things. It could be, and we're going to see in a minute, it could be things other than our own personal freedom. Often it's our freedom. But that's what's bringing it to pass. It's not that God is purposefully doing that. And He certainly hadn't written it down in Scripture. And brethren, here is what's going to be the answer to that question. Does God have an individual will for my life? Well, He doesn't have an individual prescribed will where He tells you to turn left out of the parking lot. I had some quotes that I was going to share with you this evening. I won't take time to do that because I wanted to focus on the Scripture. But I have quotes from individuals, and bookstores are full of these kinds of things, primarily coming from Calvinists who say that God makes all of your decisions for you. There'll be titles like decision making and how to know God's will. They're in religious bookstores, and I've got several quotes, and I wanted to quote one, but I'll pass on it, where he gets down into specific little details about what you're choosing to eat out of the refrigerator and what clothes you're going to put on. God has a will for you on all of those things. He doesn't have a prescribed will. It's not written in Scripture. And it's not the purposed will of God. But it is within His permission. And so to answer these questions this evening, it falls under this third category. There are things that God permits. He's still in control. And whether you choose to turn left or right, He's still going to accomplish His prescribed will and His purposeful will. But He does not individually will those kinds of decisions. Let's look at a few examples of this in Scripture. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14 and verse 16. Do you know that man chooses to sin? God allows that. He's not going to force you not to sin. If you want to sin, He'll let you sin. But that's in the permissive will of God. He certainly hadn't prescribed you to sin. And He certainly hadn't purposed you to sin. But when you sin and you choose to do that, He will allow you and permit you to do that. Here's an example in Acts chapter 14 and verse 16. Who in the generations gone by suffered or allowed, some versions say permitted, all the nations to walk in their own ways. God permits that. He doesn't want you to sin. He hadn't written in the Word of God that He wills that, but He will permit it if you want to choose that. So that would be one thing in the permissive will of God when a person sins. Specific plans that you have. We've got plans later on this evening. We've got plans tomorrow and the next day and so forth. This shows up a lot in Paul's writings. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18 and verse 21. God does not have an individual will for us on these details all throughout the day. He has a prescribed will with regard to becoming a Christian and remaining faithful as a Christian. He has a purposeful will where He decided that that would take place in the church and in Christ and so forth. But we don't have from God an individual will for our life where we go to Baskin Robbins and we choose chocolate instead of strawberry. And yet there's some who believe that that's what God has for us. That has already been decided by God. But He does allow us. And we might have plans. Here's one of many examples in the life of Paul. But taking his leave and saying, I will return unto you again if God will. And he set sail from Ephesus. So the will of God. Well, what kind of will? Just the permissive will. He's allowing that. He's not deciding that in advance. So there are several passages where Paul talks about if the Lord will. Even the Hebrew writer in chapter 6 and verse 3. Here's another example of what God permits. He doesn't want this ahead of time, and He doesn't hope that people are going to suffer. That's terrible for God to be like that. We don't serve a God like that. But He will permit us to be suffering. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, look at this. For it is better if the will of God... Well, what will? Well, it's not the purposeful will of God, and it's not the prescribed will of God. It's the permissive will of God. If the will of God should so will that you suffer for well-doing, He'll allow you and permit you to suffer. And it's good for us. It helps us. It makes us be a better person. But it's just a part of His permissive will. So, as we look at these three examples, I would say, with regard to the question at hand this evening, which is a good question, is there a reason for something happening? Well, I would say yes. Because just of the basic law of cause and effect. Just in our universe, when something happens, there was some cause for that. But it may not be the reason we think. It may not even be God at all. It's not wrong to ask, is there a reason for something happening? That's a good question. And we might say, let's talk about some possibilities of why that may have happened. But as we're going to see in just a minute, if we're like Job's friends, we go too far and we try to attribute a reason that is actually not the case. Let's look at some other things and some other factors with regard to our daily life. Do you know that Satan is out there like a roaring lion? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, turn with me there. Paul said that he wanted to come see them again. But Satan hindered us. Oh, wait a minute. Does everything happen for a reason? Well, in that case, Satan hindered us. And sometimes we might not think about Satan. Oh, I forgot about him. You see, he's out there. I wanted to see you face to face. I wanted to come once and again, and Satan hindered us. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. So Satan has to be factored in. There are natural laws. If I fall off of a ladder, was there a reason for that? Well, one of the big reasons was gravity. And I'm not trying to be funny. There are natural laws that we take into account. There are accidents. There are sometimes just outright sinful choices, and something is happening because of an actual choice we made. And sometimes it's a combination of a lot of things. You have a drunk driver who kills an innocent person out there on the highway. Well, there's several things going on there. There's the choice to drink, and then there's the choice to drive. But then there's some natural causes. There's gravity and friction on the road and sliding and inertia. There's all kinds of things. But often what we want to do is we want to say, is there a reason? And we pick one thing, when often it is multiple types of things going on. But all of it, brethren, is in the permissive will of God. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. This is a great passage with regard to tonight's question, and maybe it would help us to bring some pertinent information into the equation. Solomon saw a lot of things in life. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And there are a lot of things in life that happen based upon your typical situation. Typically, the stronger army wins the battle. Typically, the better ball team wins the game. Typically, the faster runner wins the race. That's just pretty typical. But Solomon says, I've seen a lot of things in life, and there's also this situation going on, where some things happen and it's completely different than what you might think. And so the point of that this evening is, brethren, that when we're trying to find a reason for things happening, we have to factor this in as well. We may not understand everything that's going on because it may be different than what normally happens. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Well, usually it is, and they usually win the race, but sometimes the slow guy wins. Nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding. It's typically, you're going to have more money with better understanding, but sometimes you don't. You can have more money and just be completely without understanding. There are some exceptions to that. And then he says, but time and chance happeneth to them all. The word chance here, which is in most English translations, the Hebrew word is found only one other time in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 5, and there it's translated evil occurrence. Be careful not to read the word into the word chance too much, because you'll take God completely out of the equation, that everything that happens in life is just fate and chance. That's what the Greeks said. So be careful about that English word chance. It just means time and occurrence. Things happen. And sometimes they happen in a way that's not typical. So we have to factor that in. Well, why did something happen? What was the reason for such and such happening? Well, it could be just simply we don't know. We don't understand everything. And sometimes it's the opposite of what we might think. So factor that in. Some of what we're hearing today about this idea that God controls every little decision, thousands of them throughout the day, that's the will of God. Some of that is coming from 500 years of John Calvin's teaching, where he said, in determinism, he said, every detail in life is predetermined and purposed by God, and the Scripture doesn't teach that. And so a lot of what we see in these religious bookstores and other kinds of things is coming from that. I believe everything happens in life within the permissive will of God, certainly. But he has not prescribed that. He has not purposed that
those mundane little details, little things that happen all throughout the day. He's permitting it, and that is all. And so, as we look at the close of our lesson, and as we come to the close, how can we sort of bring this down to a practical level before we close this evening? Well, let's take those three wills and let's go back through them again hurriedly and ask ourselves, what can we do? With regard to the purposed will of God, this is something that He decided in advance, such as creation or the plan of salvation. Let's be bold. We know that God has what's best for us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We can be bold as a Christian. We can have confidence and we can have assurance. Paul says nothing will separate us from the love of God. When we know that God, before the foundation of the world, planned that which is good for us, we can be bold about that. We know, look at the confidence, look at the assurance. We know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to His purpose, His will. If we love God, this is not just all people in general. Look at verse 28. It's those who love God. And he goes on to talk about Christians. So, God purposes things before the foundation of the world, and that should give us confidence and boldness and assurance. And we should be able to say in verse 37 that we are more than conquerors through Him. Number two, we can be thankful. When Paul talked about salvation in Jesus Christ, he was thankful. He said that we would be nothing without salvation and grace and mercy. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal. This is one of those purposed things that was decided by God before times eternal. And Paul said we would be nothing without that, and we can be thankful. When it comes to the purposed will of God, be bold and assured and confident we're more than, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors, above and beyond. And let us be thankful for what we have in creation and in Christ Jesus. Well, what about the prescribed will of God? This is what's actually recorded for us, and we're holding it in our Bibles this evening. Understand all you can about it. Read, read, read. Study, study, study. Be not ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. That's why we emphasize Bible-based preaching, Bible-based Bible classes, daily Bible reading. That's how we're learning and understanding and knowing the prescribed will of God and obey all that we can. God's not going to force us, but He desires it. He wills it. And let's do what He desires this week. Let's do what He wills. I love all of the John passages. John 4, John 5, John 6, John 7. Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will. I always want to do what pleases Him. I want to do my Father's will. That needs to be our attitude each and every day. Understand all that we can and obey all that we can. He's written it down so that we can do that very thing. When you look at the prescribed will of God, sometimes He requires us and He wants us to do things. Other times He forbids us. Don't do these things. Sometimes in the prescribed will of God, it's a general statement. And He wants us to use some wisdom and understanding to apply those general statements in aspects of our life. And then sometimes He's very specific. And God's prescribed will is objective. It's outside of us. It's in a book outside of us. It's not what I think and what I feel, but what is out here, and it's universal. It's for all mankind. I think some people think that the New Testament, that's just for church-going folks. Well, there are some things in the New Testament that are applied to church-going folks in particular, such as taking the Lord's Supper. But there are things in the New Testament that apply to all mankind. One is the marriage law of Christ. Christ's marriage law applies to all mankind, for example. The New Testament is not just for church-going folks. It's for all of us. When there are passages that speak to morality and ethics and right and wrong, that applies to everybody in Clarksville, whether we step in a church building or not. But know all that we can about that. Make sure our children know those things and do all that we can to obey that. Know as much about God and His Word. Know as much about life as we can. Know as much about wisdom as we can. And if we need more, I do. James 1:5, pray for wisdom. Get as much wisdom from God as we can. That's the understanding. It's taking the book knowledge and then applying it to my personal situation. Know as much as we can about God and His Word, about life, and about wisdom and the application of God's Word. And then last of all, with regard to the permissive will of God, always pray if the Lord wills. Turn with me to James chapter 4. No better passage I can think of than James chapter 4. There are many things that God permits. Don't blame Him for everything. That's what Job's friends wanted to blame Job. Well, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. That's why you're suffering. They missed it by a mile. They missed it. And then even Job later, he's saying to God, "You're shooting your arrows at me, and you're causing this." He missed it by a mile. We all want reason for something happening. That's natural. That's good. And it's good to ask, what is the reason? But it might just simply, at the end of the day, have to fall within the permissive will of God. And we're not told the reason. We'll never know the reason. We're focusing on the prescribed will of God that we can know. In James chapter 4, when we leave this evening, you know, we could pray. Whether we turn left or right out of the parking lot doesn't matter. But we could pray, "Lord, if it's Your will, if the Lord will, I would like to get home safely and not have an accident." Pray a lot. And pray if the Lord wills. In verses 13 and 14, James reminds us that life is like a vapor. We're not here forever. "For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that." In preparing this lesson, I was reminded again in just slowing down on that verse. I've read it many times in life. Look at it again. Verse 15, "if the Lord will," what's the very first part? I've always jumped to, "we will do this or that." What's the very first part? "If the Lord will, we shall live." Just living tomorrow is based upon whether God permits that or not. And that's a humbling thought. "If the Lord will, we shall live," let alone do this or that. Just living is based upon whether or not He permits it or allows it. What a humbling thought. And let's pray, "God, will You permit me to live one more day so that I can serve You?" But let's not blame God for everything. Sometimes we don't know all of the whys and the wherefores. It's in the permissive will of God. And we're not told what those whys or wherefores are. But I know this. There are examples in the Scripture, like the apostles being persecuted in Luke 21 and Paul being in prison in Philippians 1. I know that in the Bible, look up, turn out, how something will turn out. There are places that talk about it will turn out for that which is good. Even when there is the drunk driver that kills someone, and the cancer, and the bad things that happen in life, those things can turn out for good. If we will follow the prescribed will of God and become a faithful Christian, there can be a reward in the end. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. What shall it be? What will you do with Jesus? That has to do with the prescribed will of God. He's told us to obey Him. Will you do that this evening? I hope that that has helped. I hope that that has encouraged us to understand what is God's will for my life. His will for you right now is prescribed in His Word to come and obey the gospel or return if you need to. But let's live according to His Word and His will this week. Know as much of it as we can. Obey as much of it as we can. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?